Listeners are advised that the information shared in this podcast does not equate to medical advice. For all queries regarding your health, medication, and treatment, please see your GP.
Welcome to the Connect Groups podcast series.
This is Emily Mostyn Brown, the Training and Development Coordinator here at Connect Groups. I'm here today with Julia McDonald, the Secretary for Trigeminal Neuralgia Support Group here in WA. I'd like to start off by acknowledging the Whadjuk Noongar people and the land on which we are recording this podcast today, to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and to any of our listeners out there with lived experience. Hi, Julia. Welcome.
Hi, Emily. Thank you.
Do you want to start off by telling us how you got involved with trigeminal neuralgia?
Yes, certainly. Well, I had niggling, crawling pains in my face. And I thought, this is funny, there's something wrong with my nose or tooth. So I went to a dentist and he said, no, I can't see anything wrong, but I'll give you a scouring and we'll see what happens. And anyway, the pain got worse and worse, and one day I was crossing the street and it hit me. It hit me like a bolt of lightning out of the blue, and I just didn't know what it was. It was the most lancinating, terrifying pain, and it strikes suddenly with electric shock-like pain to the face again and again, sometimes for a few seconds, sometimes minutes, and then it's gone, leaving you annihilated and in fear of the next attack of stabbing, searing, lancinating pain. So there was I, playing tennis and trying to live a normal life, and suddenly this pain would get me. And I didn't know what it was, and dental treatments exacerbated it, and I looked in every book, and this was in 1991. So there was no ready information on the internet. There was nothing available. I was searching through libraries for anything. I didn't know anybody that had anything like it. And one day, when I was playing pennant tennis, of all things, because I couldn't even call out the scores, I would have an attack. And one day the captain said to me, look, I've got this article from the paper, and there's a support group, and what you've got sounds like trigeminal neuralgia. So I leapt at it and joined the support group, and it was the most amazing feeling to be with people that knew what I was going through. And this was quite a while after I started getting attacks. Doctors at that stage weren't really au fait with it, and the dentist said, you know, there's nothing really wrong, but he carried out treatments. I had root canal, and I had extractions and all sorts, which many of our members do have. So I went to this meeting and sat there just crying that somebody knew what I was going through. And I kept going to the meetings, and there wasn't much to learn, because all it was a group of like-minded people, all suffering. So it was just kind of strength through shared experience and little hints to understand how to deal with your pain or cope, or just how to manage your children, things like that. So because you couldn't speak a lot of the time, because you would have an attack, couldn't clean your teeth, put makeup on, and a slight touch to the nose or trigger point, which is around your lips and nose, can set off an attack that is like a cattle prod.
For those listening, what exactly is trigeminal neuralgia?
Trigeminal neuralgia is a disorder of the trigeminal nerve, the fifth cranial nerve, which innervates the sensations of touch, temperature and pain in most of the face. And as I said, like a bolt of lightning, it strikes suddenly with electric shock-like pain to the face again and again, sometimes for a few seconds, sometimes minutes, then it's gone. It's triggered by a light touch to the face, or, as I said, smiling, eating, or any of that, and it just can come out of nowhere. Classic TN is usually caused by a blood vessel, usually an artery, compressing the trigeminal nerve in the base of the brain. This wears away the myelin sheath, the insulation of the nerve, causing it to short circuit and misfire and send the wrong messages to the brain. So therefore a gentle breeze or just smiling can feel like a hot electric knife.
What would you say is the number one misconception or misdiagnosis when it comes to trigeminal neuralgia?
I think at first the dental thing is very obvious to people because the maxillary branch of the trigeminal nerve, has got nerve endings in every tooth. So of course it does, you know, you just think, oh, I want that tooth out. So you get past that and then finally somebody says, maybe you need to go and see a neurologist. So, but before then, people are often passed from pillar to post and undergo sinus surgery, which can just exacerbate the problem, or a huge degree of, you know, root canal and extractions and all sorts of things, because you're very sure it's your teeth. So it's just the lack of awareness that's always been, but it's starting to get better. GPs are lucky to see one or two cases in their whole practice, if that. So in the it's just started to improve, but in the old medical syllabus it was just a tiny little paragraph on trigeminal neuralgia, which, and it doesn't mean anything to anybody, nobody's interested, you just look the same, but they wonder why you're just, you suddenly stop, tears of pain rolling down your face, you're unable to talk or eat or move, it's just totally debilitating once you're having an attack, which can last seconds, minutes, it can be as long as half an hour, which is torture.
Would you suggest then to somebody who possibly thinks they might have this condition to monitor when they have their attacks and to see how long they are in comparison to, let's say they've got a toothache, which could last for hours or days?
Most definitely, because there is no blood test or anything for trigeminal neuralgia. So diagnosis is very difficult. So if you can arm yourself with details of your pain and symptoms, then your neurologist can at least determine the right diagnosis and the appropriate treatment for your case. And that's often just the most frustrating thing for people, especially if they have atypical neuralgia, because there's a lot of associated facial pains. It's not always caused through a compression in the base of the brain. It can be caused through surgical injury or, you know, some percutaneous cause, which is nerve damage, and that's actually more difficult than having a microvascular decompression, which can be very successful and the nearest thing to a cure, which is what I had and which gave me my life back again. So I'm very, very thankful to the wonderful neurosurgeon that did that.
How long ago did you have your surgery?
In 2002.
Okay. So 11, yep. sorry, 21 years now.
Yes, yes. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And touch wood, I'll stay pain and drug free for a bit longer. So I probably hit the record for anybody in our group in Perth. So because there were a few that had microvascular decompression when I did, and a lot of them have got back again, sadly. But often it can be controlled with just doses of Tegretol. And if that's not tolerated, then one can go and have a microvascular decompression again.
You talked about how finding the support group was very beneficial to your diagnosis, recovery, and just everything. Can you expand a little bit more on that and what you found through the peer support?
Oh, I think initially just the feeling that there were people that knew the pain, because the pain is such a lonely one, because there is no other pain that is so intense, an electric shock like. So people say, oh, what's wrong with you? Have you got a toothache, or is it like a migraine? And it's very hard to describe just how intense it is. So yes, we just went on discussing it, and then more and more I actually went to America to a trigeminal neuralgia conference, and that was wonderful because I met Kenneth Casey, who was co-author for our little handbook, that which is a big book really, Striking Back, and also Peter Janetta. Now, the microvascular decompression is called the Peter Janetta method because he was the one that developed it. So right back there in the early days, it was quite a scary thought to have open head surgery. And the surgeon called us in and said, I want to speak to your family. Your children have to know that you may end up in a wheelchair or a coma or worse. And so it was a bit risky in those days. But when the drugs stopped being effective and the pain is unrelenting and intense, you know you're ready for surgery. But most surgeons will suggest you don't wait that long, even though the efficacy of, say, Tegretol or another anticonvulsant becomes less and less as time goes by. So you do get to a stage, and I waited almost 10 years, which was ridiculous, but I spent a lot of those years on a cocktail of medications, and as well as pursuing every natural treatment I could. I was so sure that because it can go into remission for days, weeks, months, or even years in some cases, I thought it must stop at some stage if things get better. It doesn't. I haven't known anybody with classical trigeminal neuralgia that has said, oh, it just went away. It doesn't. It just gets more intense. So when I rang the neurosurgeon and I said, please book me in as soon as you can, and I spoke to his nurse and I could barely speak, and I said, please just book me in, and it was Easter, as soon after Easter as you can. Within 10 minutes, Wayne Thomas had rung me back and he said, I know you're bad. You come in tomorrow to the Mount Hospital. A few days later, I woke up. And of course, any surgery, especially open head surgery, of course you're going to be in intensive care with tubes out of every orifice. But feeling as ill as that and not even being able to open my eyes without being ill because of all the morphine they give you, I just said, if you take all the tubes out, I'll be fine. I can deal with any pain as long as it's not trigeminal neuralgia. And so, you know, it took about 10 days, but then it was wonderful and I could eat an apple, which I hadn't done for 10 years. Really, it was, you know, and 10 years of struggling with eating and everything was really quite tough. But I was very thankful to go over to the States and go to the conferences there with the Trigeminal Neuralgia Association, then now the Facial Pain Association. And they were marvellous. They were just wonderful. So meeting the surgeons, and Peter Janetta even said, I'll do it for you for nothing. But I would have had to come home and sell my house to pay for the hospitalisation. So, but that was wonderful. So I came home full of confidence, and the support group, we were able to glean quite a bit of marvellous knowledge, hope and confidence that there was help and there was an answer to our problems. So, and that's what the support group does with people. We just try and give them hope. A lot of people ring up without any hope and can't bear the pain any longer, and that's why it's called the suicide disease.
If there's someone listening right now who is suffering from this condition or thinks they might be suffering, how can they best get in contact with you guys to come to your support groups?
Yes, just get hold of me, Julia McDonald at aussiemail.com.au, or ring my number at 0417 968 600. I'd love to speak to you and hear your story and hopefully be able to guide you along the path to pain freedom, because there is hope out there.
So Julia is an amazing woman in general, and as you can tell, she has been through a lot and survived it and is amazing for that. Does your support group have any events or activities coming up in the future?
We don't do a lot of that. We have just have meetings, and after COVID, they've only just got back to, well, because I'm virtually running them now, our president retired, it does affect people over the age of 50. So we don't get a lot of young people that are happy to go on the committee or anything. Everybody's a little bit unwell or feels under the weather, or, you know, if you're on Tegretol, the anticonvulsants are shocking things, and you just feel dopey and out of sorts and tired all the time. So you're not going to put your hand up to help run a support group. So we have a lot of lovely members, but no, we don't. We enjoy Christmas, we enjoy our birthdays, and we just enjoy our meetings together. And quite often they develop into a little social event themselves. So we're very casual, we're very, you know, people go, oh, I don't want to come to a support group meeting, there's just going to be all these old people in pain. Well, it's not like that at all. And the joy of seeing somebody that's just had a microvascular decompression and has their life back again, they just, you're a different person. You know, they just look as if the cloud has lifted. It's wonderful.
This condition tends to affect older people?
Yes, it does. Yes, 55 is the average age. That's not to say babies haven't been born with it. And we've got one younger person there at the moment, and she's had a terrible time just getting a diagnosis. Nobody, you know, she's told it's all in her head, and it's very sad. And that often happens. There's a lot of people that go, oh, the doctor just said it's all in my head. It's psychosomatic, which is just what you don't want to hear when you're suffering that intense stabbing pain.
Well, thank you so much, Julia, for joining me. Anything else that you would like to mention about trigeminal neuralgia or your support group?
Well, I'm just happy for anybody to come along. nobody is pressured to join. People can just come along. It is $20 a year, which covers the newsletters and that sort of thing, but it's not necessary. People can come to meetings. We just are very, very happy to have sufferers along to share experience. Strength through shared experience is our motto, which, you know, I know the feeling of that. So, yeah.
For those of you listening, Julia will also be a part of our Rare Disease Day exhibit. So you can come down, you can see a photo of her fabulous self and learn a little bit more about Julia and trigeminal neuralgia. That'll be taking place starting February 24th and running through the 3rd of March. Thank you again, Julia.
Thank you, Emily.